Good old Joshua, chapter 1, the foundations. We're not doing a series, but it would be cool, but we're not, sorry. So, what we're going to talk about is calling. Everybody wants to know what their calling is. If you have spent just about any time in church, or even just around Christian people, you have probably heard this word, calling. Thrown down, throwing it on the table, calling. And sometimes when you hear this word, people are like panicked, like they're going crazy because they can't figure out what their calling is. They feel like God sort of forgot to lay out a master plan for their life and that they're just hopeless. They're just going to be twiddling their thumbs for the rest of their life. Other times, people are ready to pretty much like give up on life and just eject from everything since they don't know what their calling is. And a lot of people have basically taken this word calling and they made it into this idea that one day when you least expect it, God is going to come to you and something like this is going to happen. He's going to like come into your room late at night, God, just like there, right there, God, full form, or maybe like a spiritual form. And like, you're panicked. You're like, oh no. But he's going to go, shh, 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 I'm here. I'm here to tell you your calling. And then he's going to say, when you're 19 years old, you're going to get onto a plane to India. And there in India, Tacy, your face, this is your calling. And there in India, you're going to find the exact missionary school that I want you to attend. But, you're not going to finish the missionary school because you're going to have to come back to America and start a church for the Christian hipsters that like live in coffee shops. And while you're back in America, you're going to fall in love and live happily ever after and start a family. And that's where we got Dell. Just kidding. It sounds ridiculous that someone would think that God's just going to come and I'm here to tell you a message about your future. But it's actually not too unlike what so many people think, that God is going to reveal a very particular master plan for their life, and they're going to be like, I know exactly when and where and what to do and how to do it, and it might be tricky, but I know what to do. And I would even guess that some of you guys might actually be starting to wonder about your calling, asking the questions. Maybe you're not using that word, but as this move up a grade, some of you, the eighth graders, up to your freshman year, and then, well, Everett to his sophomore year, because he's just so smart. And then also seventh graders moving up to eighth grade, you're having these questions like, what am I going to accomplish this school year? What am I going to do during eighth grade? What is my high school experience going to be like? What is it? What's it going to make of me? What am I going to have to do to succeed? What's that going to look like? What does God have planned? What's my calling in high school? What am I going to do when I grow up? That is still a question that I've been grown up for technically a few or 2 years, 2.5. And I'm still asking myself that question every day. But it gets better. Others of you are still just trying to figure out, like, what your favorite flavor of Pop-Tart is. But you're still asking these important questions. Strawberry or cinnamon? We will never know. Or brown sugar? Is that brown sugar?
I've
never had Pop-Tart. S'more? Ugh, it's so rich. I do not like the s'more Pop-Tart. But the point is that these questions are being asked, and everybody's asking it. I'm sure some of you guys are asking these questions, and other people are asking these questions. I'm asking these questions. Everybody's asking this question. So in light of such a big change that is approaching for each of you, asking the questions, what am I going to do, where am I going to go, and then how am I going to do it all, we are going to look at Joshua, and we're going to kind of examine this point in his life where change came his way, and we're going to see how he handled it when he received his calling. And what we'll see is that he did receive direct contact from God, a very direct message from God about his calling, but the contents of that message are a little different than what we expect today. Different than the, you know, the idea of God coming into your room late at night and waking you up from sleep and going, shh, 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 you're calling. So we pick things up in verse 1. Moses, grab a tissue. Moses has just died. Yes. KO'd. Out for the count. Forever. Dead. Dead as a doornail. And Moses' assistant is Joshua. And Joshua's going to take things over. And I guess you could say this is a pretty big deal. Joshua is estimated to be a young man at that time. So he'd probably be, I think he would be about like 50, which to us is like, oh my goodness, he's old. But it's just because they aged differently, because they were closer to the time of creation, that wasn't super old. It was like he was a man, but he wasn't ancient. He wasn't old. He was like a man. He was like the age of a mature man. But this is a big deal. It's estimated that at this point, the group of people that Joshua is taking over could be up to 3 million people. Could you imagine that? Taking over 3 million people, the leadership of 3 million people. And in verse 2, God gives Joshua his calling. Tune in. Here's the calling right here. I'm going to read it from the NLT. It says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them." So that's the calling. So direct, so straightforward, and like, so big. It's huge. But there's a few things I want to point out about Joshua's calling. First is that it's present. This calling is present. And what I mean by that is it's not a future calling. It's not like God is saying, in the future, you're going to hop on a plane and take it straight to Albania, and there you will not know the language, but you will... What? Every time Tacy's like, that's my calling. How'd you know? Everything that says starts with get on a plane, Tacy's like, no, is that me? Is that me, Lord? Yes, but it's not a future calling. What it is it's present. It's the present need that is right before Joshua. Moses has died, and somebody has to take over the position of leadership. And it simply makes sense for Joshua to do it because he's the assistant. And then he also has that experience of going into the promised land and coming out and saying, grapes the size of our foreheads, how huge is that? Let's go take this land. And everybody was like, but there's giants and stuff, dude. And he's all, come on, we can do it. And then they did it. But it's present. It's not this detailed step-by-step plan that's way off. It's going to take you at least 30 years to fulfill. And you're going to have to do things right in order all along. It's present. It starts as soon as God tells him to do it. It's also practical. So it's present and it's practical, the calling that Joshua is given by God. Joshua's calling was something that the children of Israel needed right in that moment. It wasn't God telling him about a need that they're going to have in like 10 years that he needs to get ready for. It was a need right then and there that Joshua was called to fulfill, not in the future, but to meet right then and there. So for you 8th graders, getting ready for high school, getting ready for the big move up where you're going to start having to shave and like actually need to wear deodorant. You need to. If you take, okay, hopefully this isn't the only thing you take from the teaching, but you need deodorant, especially in high school. That's the time where you just need it. You just need it. So for you 8th graders, soon to be 9th graders, freshmen, good old freshman. Your calling is to be a good high schooler. To get good grades. Because grades actually matter in high school. Mind blown. But they really do. In junior high, it's really just your teachers and your parents and maybe you who care about your grades. But in high school, Everybody will eventually be looking at your grades. You'll put it on the first job that you apply for. You'll put it on your college application. You'll put it on like an internship application if you do something like that. It's something that is important that could impact your future. So in high school, your calling is going to be a good high schooler, get good grades. Take the steps that are necessary to pursue adulthood. Maybe learn how to drive. Maybe get a part-time job. Oh, man, responsibility crushing me. But it's good. Take those small steps to pursue adulthood. That's what high school is for, to take you from somebody who doesn't wear deodorant and has never shaved and to bring you to the 18-year-old who is like ready for college or like a job and work and stuff. And it's a big deal. It's a huge change. Use your free time in high school to honor God. These are your callings as a high schooler, getting ready for high school or approaching high school. Now, you seventh graders, your calling is not to put on hold because, like, you're not in high school. It's not to just, like, wait and twiddle your thumbs until you're, like, high school and freshman and you can go to the weekend and do eighth grade overnighter stuff. No, you guys have callings too, right here, right now. Your calling is to welcome and show that agape, unconditional love to the upcoming seventh graders. Take them under your wing. Be their, like, wing man or woman or whatever. Take them under your wing and really encourage them. Show them the love of Jesus so that they feel at home when they come up here. Because you remember walking into this room. One, it's like lime green, which just scares people. And it's like I'm up here, which just scares people. So there's a lot to adjust to, a lot to scare a lot of people. Your calling is to set an example to the upcoming seventh graders of what Thrive Junior High is really about. I can't set that example. Like, I'm going to do my best, but it's you guys. Your calling is to really be that example to the upcoming seventh graders. And then your calling is to keep learning in school, keep yourself devoted to your school so you can excel. And when you get into high school, you will be ready to take on those geometries and, like, biologies and stuff that, like, warps your mind. Yes. But you'll be ready for it if you apply yourself in junior high. But just because your calling isn't something that's way far off, that doesn't involve getting on a plane into India or whatever else, it doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't mean that your calling is going to be this piece of cake, like walk in the park and you're not even going to have to think about it. God spends the next few verses encouraging Joshua, telling him that he will support Joshua every single step of the way as God leads him, as he is leading the children of Israel to the promised land. And there's one specific phrase that God repeats three times in these verses. Do you guys know what it is? Did you notice it?
Be strong.
Yeah, you nailed it. Air five. Yeah, be strong and of good courage. This is God's way of telling Joshua, don't let fear be your guide. Yeah, you're going to be scared. Life is big. Life is crazy. Things come at you that you could have never planned for. But don't let the fear that comes your way be your guide. It's God's way of telling him, be bold. To stay the course. Stay in the faith. No matter what comes his way. And this is what God is telling each of you this morning. Yes, Eden. Yeah, I would agree that God's telling him not to fear, but it's hard to say whether it's because of his personality type or whether it's because he was afraid or whether it's because anybody would be afraid or because of his spiritual gift, just because the Bible doesn't tell us, so we don't really know. But I would agree that that is a possibility for sure. So the way we're going to break things down this morning is each time that God says, be strong and of good courage, each time it's for a different reason. It's very specific each time, but it's for a different reason. So we're going to break down each individual reason behind why God said, be strong and of good courage to Joshua. And then keep in mind that he is telling you, 7th graders, soon to be 8th graders, he's telling you this morning. Be strong and of good courage, because he has a calling for your life this coming year to be devoted to what he has for you. Also, you freshmen, Everett's going to be a sophomore, God is calling you. Be strong and of good courage. These are all very direct to you. So, the first reason that he says, be strong and of good courage, is because he gives us the abilities to accomplish what he has called us to. So the first reason to be strong and of good courage is because God has given you the abilities to accomplish or complete what he has called you to. Verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage, or courageous. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. So you are the one who I've called to do this, and so it will be done. God knows that the things that we are called to in life, they're not always easy. Being a good high schooler is not always easy. I can tell you that from experience. Being devoted to your school in junior high stinks. I hated school in junior high. I still hate school. But I know that it's good, and I know that it's important, that we need to apply ourselves to it. So being what God has called us to, he knows it's not always easy. Whenever God calls you to something, he will provide all that you need to be successful. Philippians 4:13, you guys all probably know this verse. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, some people love this verse because they think it means that life will be easy for them. That they can like stop trying at everything and just like cruise, and like they're at an airport on those people movers. They don't even need to walk to get where they're going. They just need to stand there and they're going to shoo. Do you like walking on them? That's what I like. Because I'm always like, yeah, like. And like, you always, the people that are walking, you're always like, hey. I'm walking the same speed, but faster. That's me at an airport. So just because it says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you does not mean that you just need to sit back and put your feet in the air and not do anything with your life and it's just going to be smooth as butter. No, that's like the opposite of what it means. So it's not saying that if you don't try at all, everything will just come together. That's not what it means at all. It means that if we put our best foot forward in what God has called us to and what he has brought our way, he will give us the strength to complete it. Even if it's something we never thought we could do, that class that is really hard, God's not saying if you just give up and stop trying that you're going to get a straight A. But what he's saying is that if you put your best foot forward and put the discipline that's necessary to do what he has called you to in that class, you will complete it. Maybe it won't be what you wanted. Maybe it won't be like your dream grade, but you will complete it if you put your best foot forward, if you strive to please him in what he has called you to. So that is the first reason God says, be strong and of good courage, because he has given you the ability to accomplish what he has called you to do. Now, the second reason he said it is because he knows that we need to be growing deeper in our relationship with God all along the way. We need to be growing deeper in our relationship and in our closeness with God. God knows that when new things come our way, as human beings, we have this weird protective feature where new things come our way and our instinct or tendency is to change everything. So especially when we get stressed or anxious, We're like, I need to change something about my life. I need to like eat a whole bunch of food. Or like some people, I need to stop eating food. Or it's like, I need sugar. I need Ben and Jerry's ice cream in a good movie. Or it's like, I need to sleep in. That's so often what happens in summertime. Change comes our way. I need to stay up really late doing nothing that is of meaningfulness. And then sleep in really late doing nothing because I'm sleeping. And then like shower and then go back to sleep because I slept so long. That's how we are as humans. When change comes our way, we mix everything up. We panic. We kind of freak out. We start to leave the good habits we have. And a lot of times we begin to pursue bad habits. Sometimes if we used to be addicted to something or we used to struggle with something, a lot of times when change and stress comes our way, something that can make us fear a little bit, we'll turn back to what we struggled with. We'll turn back to that habit we used to have. So God says, you need to be strong and courageous so that we are not led astray, so that we are not taken away from our closeness with God. Verse 7 says in the NLT as well, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them. Don't leave the foundation of God's word, the closeness you have, turning either to the right or to the left, but stay the course. Then you will be successful in everything that you do. And then he goes on in verse 8 to basically say, read your Bible, Joshua, and pray every day. Just because this responsibility has come upon you doesn't mean you have to like leave those things that are so important. He says, continue reading your Bible every day. Continue praying every day. And he even says, maybe even do it multiple times a day, in the morning and in the night, because you are going to need that closeness with God. Because there's so many things when change comes our way that can stir us up, that can pull us away from what God desires for us. That closeness, that one-on-one closeness in our relationship with Him. Now the third and final reason that God tells us to be strong and courageous is because He is with us everywhere we go. Wherever we go, God is with us. And that is exactly what verse 9 says, that the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. As you follow God and what He has called you to, as you step out in faith in your eighth grade year here at Thrive Junior High and also at school, doing the best you can in school, even though it's hard and challenging. School was never as hard as it was this year, and that's really how it is. It just keeps getting harder and harder. But if you continue in what He's called you to, striving to please Him, He is with you everywhere you go. As the new seventh graders come up and you eighth graders, show them the love and welcome them into this room and take them under your wing and foster them or whatever. Just kidding. You don't need to adopt them. That's weird. No, you can't. You can't adopt a new seventh grader, sorry. But really, do take them under your wing and love them in the way that God calls us to love them, with the love of Jesus. If you do that, God is with you every step of the way, even when it's awkward, even when they're like getting under your nerves because they're crazy and they wiggle like this, like in their chair, they're like, there. That doesn't go away until like the first 6 months. They'll be doing it. Oh, no, they still will. They'll be like this. Yeah. God is... No. I can't let... What if I was like, and we have complimentary hula hoops in the back if anybody needs to get out the wiggles? No. We're not going to do that. But the point is that God is with you every step of the way. High schoolers are... soon-to-be high schoolers. God is with you every step of the way in high school. That is what He's saying in verse 9. No matter where you go or what you do, no matter how crazy your responsibilities get, no matter how many sports you're in and how stressed you are and still trying to come to church and be devoted in that and being spread thin and growing as like becoming a young adult, No matter what comes your way, and no matter what way he leads you, he is still with you wherever you go. And we have to remember that God is powerful. He is mighty. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge. He is our strength, always ready to help us in times of trouble. Always ready, always with us. He's our strength. He's our refuge, our fortress, that when crazy things come our way, we can go to him and hide under his strength and be strengthened by him. And he's always ready to help us in times of trouble. This is what God is saying to all of you today. Change is coming. It's approaching. And it's good. It's good change. Be excited for it. But as fear kind of starts to creep in, eighth grade, getting ready for high school and how that's going to prepare your heart, high schoolers going full on into high school, becoming the bottom of the totem pole once again, and it stinks. Freshmen, fresh meat. Oh, no. Bummer. But God is with you. And he says, be strong and of good courage, because he has given you the abilities to accomplish what he has called you to, because he knows that there's going to be change in your life and that can stir things up, but he desires that closeness. He knows that you will still need to try to maintain your closeness in your relationship with God. It's not always just going to be natural. You will have to work at it, just as Joshua did, meditating day in and day out on God's word and praying. And then finally, because God is with you, be strong and courageous, because you are not alone, no matter where he leads you. So as we come to a close, I just want to say, I'm so proud of you, eighth graders. Man, and you seventh graders, seriously. This year has been crazy. Yeah, I feel like it has. Especially you eighth graders, because the eighth graders endured a lot of change that happened in Thrive Junior High. And the fact that they are still committed and still growing deeper in the Lord and still come to grow deeper in him and to fellowship, it's really good and it's really cool. And it's just crazy. Y'all are growing up. It's really great. So my encouragement to you guys is what God tells us. Be strong and of good courage. Yes, life will trip you up. It will be tough at times. It will be crazy. It will be fun at times. And it will be easy. But keep God the main thing in your life. You soon-to-be eighth graders, keep him the main thing. And strive to show that to the seventh graders. Show them that this is a place where God is our focus, where God is the highest. He is the chief. He's the reason we're here. Yeah, we're here to have fun and to enjoy each other's presence and to like eat weird stuff at times and do crazy things and like toast waffles because I made paper in the basket. Like, we do some weird stuff. But have the faith and the trust in God to show those upcoming seventh graders that he is everything, that he's everything to you, and you can't show them that unless it's real in your life. But they need to see it, just as you were able to see it in the eighth graders when they came up, that tradition, that really holy tradition, it needs to continue. And then, you high schoolers moving up, so excited. So proud of you guys. But remember, be strong and of good courage, no matter what comes your way, no matter what stress or anxiety or fears or excitement or joy or craziness comes your way, rest on the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have us in mind every single moment of every single day, that you know how many hairs are on our head, that your thoughts towards us are like the sand of the sea, and that you have plans for us, Lord, to give us a future and to give us a hope, as it says in Jeremiah. We pray that you would capture our heart more and more as these seventh graders become eighth graders. Help them to grow deeper in you. Help them to set the example in this room and to be leaders to those upcoming seventh graders. And I pray for for Everett and Neil as they continue in high school, that you would bless them, Lord, that you would be the center of their hearts, be in everything that they say and do. Allow them to go forward in strong courage, knowing that you have given them the ability to do everything you've called them to, and you're with them every step of the way. We are so thankful for the callings you've placed on our lives, and that it's such a higher calling than anything else in this world. We love you so much. We pray that you'd go before us this week, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,